the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Universe of the Soul's Evolution, which is going to be changing back to the Church of the Soul's Evolution. What a wonderful universe we live in, my friends, all thanks to the great supreme creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang all those billions of years ago, and the universe began forming itself one solar system after another until a galaxy was formed and then a new galaxy began forming. And here we are in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy in a beautiful solar system with beautiful planets. Now, those planets, besides Earth, you might not think that they have a purpose, but they do. And our idea, our concept of life might not be what we comprehend life to be. Life can be a very complicated word to fully understand. And I would even venture to say that here in our solar system, there's other life besides here on planet Earth. And we know a little bit the possibility of there being life on Mars. And at one time, we think it did exist when it was in a more safe zone, green zone, but moved out of that green zone at some time in its past and began cooling down. That's why Mars is where it is right now. And then Venus, possibly, even with tremendous pressure and heat, hot enough to melt lead there on the planet, it could still harbor life in ways that we don't understand. And then Jupiter and all the other planets. Amazing, my friends. And did you know that there is a race of human beings living on one of Jupiter's moons? Yes, yes, it's true. I'm telling you, they're very advanced, far more advanced than us. Their spaceships are capable of traveling at sublight speeds and going interdimensional, I think. And they're on that moon, Ganymede. I'm going to take a drink. They have learned to harness the volcanic activity to power their cities, which are almost like half above the ground and half below the ground. In fact, on a good day, a good night, with a very excellent telescope, you can see some of their structures on the surface of Ganymede. And they're metallic-like, and so reflect sunlight. If you don't believe me and you want to research it further, check out this book on the Amazon Kindle, in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, or Google it. It's called I Visited Ganymede. It's about a man named Pepe, and the author, whose name is Joseph Abraham, he was visited by these extraterrestrials, human beings, just like us. In fact, they very closely resemble us, more so than some of the other ETs that are out there, you know, the humanoid type, the grays, the type that have different color skins and different eyes, different heights, sizes, shapes. The reptilians, they're a race which have been warring that, you know, we shouldn't feel bad about the wars that we've gotten into in the past, although that's not the right way to live. Ultimately, we want to live in harmony and peace and love our fellow brothers and sisters in spirit, right? Hey, okay, hey. Hey, come on, hey. Kira, come on. Thank you. Come on, Goldie. One of our dogs was kind of blocking the doorway with another dog coming up the stairs. Come on, Goldie. And my wife and stepdaughter and grandchildren just went out to get some food at a local Vietnamese Thai restaurant. They're going to bring me back some food. They're going to bring back some tofu and rice. It's one of my favorite dishes. Hopefully they'll do good with the tofu. Sometimes before in the past, it's been a little bit burnt. It's not tasting good. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. Goldie's here on the bed now right next to me. She jumped up. What I was saying about all these ETs that are out there, And they might even be listening to me now because they're sometimes either within the Earth's atmosphere or outside in the orbit of Earth or maybe around about the moon or even in another solar system. They have technology that is incredible, whereas it could tune in to our radio broadcasts here on Earth. We're trying to listen for radio transmissions ourselves, right? With those transmitters, kind of, you've seen them, they're out there in the desert, these huge, what are they called? I can't remember exactly, but they capture radio transmissions from around the universe. The SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Life, has them. They were in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. These huge dishes, you know, that pick up these transmissions from outer space. Well, they have similar kind of apparatus technology that would allow them to tune in possibly from a few light years away even. So why wouldn't they listen to my radio show? Because there's not too many people to talk about the things that I do, my friends. I say that with all humility, that I am what I think could be considered as an advanced soul. And indeed, all those extraterrestrials, all those other extraterrestrials that are out there are, for the most case, advanced souls. Now, there are some, of course, that are in different stages of evolution, some in lower stages, some in similar stages to where we are right now. And they eventually will evolve their soul and develop themselves spiritually enough to where they will leave the confines of their home planets and be space travelers like we're aspiring to be, right? If we could make contact with, say, an extraterrestrial race out there, one name in mind is the Verdants. I would imagine they are listening to some of my radio broadcasts because they have been observing us for over 1,000 years now, and they're kind of guiding us in our steps to become star travelers. However, they know we're a very violent species, are we not? Nothing to be proud about, that's for sure. And I think there's a lot of old souls here on Earth, like myself. There's not many young souls, I think, because this planet, and we all volunteered to come here before we were born. Before we were born, my friend, can you remember when you were born? We existed in spirit form. We are spirits in the material world, my friends. I've said this before, just like that song by the Police. We are spirits in the material world. Does anybody disagree with me? Raise your hand. I'm just joking. I can't see you. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I had a dream, a fever. My hands felt just like two balloons. Now I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain. You wouldn't understand. That's not who I am. I've become comfortably numb, that song by Pink Floyd. What a beautiful song. And I can sing it very well. I am a superstar, my friends. I am Superstar Blake. I say that again, humbly, but I like to build myself up because sometimes it's hard to maintain that kind of superstar status, you know? I go out there in my patio, and I don't turn the music up too loud, but I can sing my songs, and I've got so many beautiful songs that I love. I love my music. I've been learning them for all these songs for years now. It all started back when I began going to the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston in 2013 in October. And I went and set up my karaoke equipment and I sang for them in the Warrior and Family Support Center there in the Warrior Transition Battalion. At that time, there were still a lot of soldiers and military coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. Some missing limbs, you know, unfortunately. May God bless them, you know, what a sacrifice. Others that were wounded in some way that wasn't as obvious. And they would walk around there. It was a very casual atmosphere. And they would get their lunch. Usually I would go when they had lunch. And they had lunch maybe 3-4 times a week by these different organizations that would come in and provide lunch. Always a very beautiful setting, atmosphere, you know, some good food, good chow. And they had a kitchen there and a living room, TVs and couches. And the wounded warriors would be walking around, and I would interact with some of them, and some would sit down on the couch and eat their food and watch television. And they got to know me for 6 years that went on, and then the pandemic hit, and I didn't go anymore and haven't gone since. Now it's being run by the USO, and it's a different kind of organization. I'm going to take a drink. I went there just after the pandemic stopped, and it was like a ghost town. We had pulled out of Afghanistan. There weren't too many soldiers coming back from any conflicts around the world. So I missed those times, and I think it was one of the best times of my life, singing for the Wounded Warriors. One of the other really good times in my life has been singing with the choir at the gospel service at Lackland Air Force Base's Freedom Chapel since 2012. Just recently, they integrated the service, the Protestant and the gospel services, into one main service at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. But I still sing with the choir, and the songs we lift up for praise and worship to God, the creator of the universe, and the mother and father God. You know, there is a mother God, my friends. I feel like maybe some people don't believe me, but if you have a logical mind, let me just explain what I mean, explain my rationale, because most everybody is a logical person deep within their intellect. They have that capacity to analyze things logically, although sometimes that logic is overridden by their own kind of values and beliefs, depending on how they were brought up by their parents and how they have been treated by their peers, conforming to some traditions that aren't necessarily truthful, but nevertheless, they stick with what they believe because they don't like deviating from change. Can I take a drink? Winston Churchill once said, check it out on the internet, that change is good. Those who change a lot are the best people, are the people that really get ahead in this world. So don't be afraid of change, my friends. The rationale for Mother God is two things. First of all, Father God, in all his beauty and glory and brilliance, there sitting on his throne in heaven, a spirit that is growing in size and power as we speak, that could be possibly larger than a two-story house. Just to give you an example that you can grasp a hold of with your understanding, or even bigger, perhaps even as big as, say, maybe a sports arena or a stadium, and growing all the time, because growth is what makes the universe run, my friends. But the Father God is first and foremost a male spirit. And you have to understand that a male needs a female by his side. What male out there, tell me now, right now, at this second, does not want a female, except for the gay and homosexual community, which I understand very well, and I don't throw any stones at them. I understand them. They've got a very difficult mission in this life, being born into this world, usually in most cases, with the spirit of an opposite gender in their body. For example, a male spirit in a female body, or a female spirit in a male body. And why do they do this, you might ask? Because it all helps to help us love each other and make the world a better place. But back to Father God. Father God, of course, would want a woman by his side, a companion. A king needs a queen, my friend. Although in the spirit world, when you get there, you'll see that a king and a queen are equal. They are equal. They're co-creator gods in the highest. And in order to create spirit children like us, our souls and our spirits, they need to merge their spirits. That's what they do, just like we reproduce here and we have our children there in the spirit world. You will see there is sex when we get to the spirit lands, my friends. Isn't that an interesting and entertaining prospect? When you get there, that you still be able to have sex in a different kind of way? And how else would the mother and father God create that merging of spirits so that they become one, like the main creator of the universe, the supreme creator, the great original creator spirit, the creator of the universe, the master of the universe, who made provisions for co-creator gods of solar systems. And don't you know, infinite space is expanding as we speak. The edges of and the borders of infinite space are expanding, my friends. Can you grasp a hold of that? Infinity, eternity, all courtesy of the Supreme Creator, who is awesome and wonderful to the 100th power, for sure. But the Father God, yes, needs a woman by his side. He needs that companionship. He needs that love. He needs that merging of spirits, that feeling to create, procreate us as souls and spirits. Before we were born here into this physical world, we existed as a spirit and a soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit, just like you have a brain in your physical body. And when you die, that spirit pops out of the body, either through the top of the head or the chest, and pulled out by an angel or a deceased relative. I'm going to take a drink. And voila, over there you go. Depending on the nature of your evolution, how you evolved, how you developed yourself spiritually, you could either stay here on the surface like a ghost who don't know that they're dead. They never did know they're alive. Do you know you're alive, my friends? Hey! That's right. People that die suddenly and violently are these ghosts and may have been killed a long time ago, been walking the earth as a ghost, if you will, for hundreds, possibly thousands of years. And there are some that go below the surface, down to God's jail, run by Archangel Lucifer, who's in charge of the demons, and God's jail, hell, it is a reality, my friends, for those really bad people who you know exist, right? There are some really bad people in this world that need some, shall we say, rehabilitation of a serious kind. Yes, those demons down there, oh, I wouldn't want to go there. Oh, they are so terrible. Oh, they're nasty. And they know just how to handle those bad people, my friends. Archangel Lucifer is in charge of them, just like Archangel Michael is in charge of the angels. And they all work for, guess what, the Creator. Nothing, like the Bible says, was created if it hadn't been created by the Creator. There is no power out there that's equal to the Creators or the Mother and Father Gods. Some kind of negative connotation. No, the devil works for God, my friends. That's the reality of it. There's no fantasy there, some fantasy idea. The truth is, the Creator is in charge. Doesn't make mistakes. When the Creator creates, the Creator looks into the future and sees what he's going to create, and everything is perfect, and nothing is going to go wrong afterwards, because the Creator is omniscient and omnipotent, and not going to create something that later on, say, would rebel, possibly, or, you know, not be a servant anymore of the Mother and Father God, or angels are servants, and that's the bottom line, and they are made that way, just like we can't be an angel. They can't be like us, and there's no deviation. But back to Father God. He needs a companion by his side. Don't get this wrong, my friends. When you get to heaven, when you get to the spirit world, that world of light out there in our solar system, where the spirit can exist because it's made of light energy, don't get there and say, oh, I didn't know that we really have a mother God. I thought we might have been motherless children in heaven. Motherless children? Are you kidding me? you have a mother here on earth, why wouldn't you have a mother in heaven? I'm not talking about your earth mother, because we're all soul friends there. You could be friends with another soul in the pre-existence, in the spirit world, and then volunteer to come here to earth and be their mother, father, brother, friend, whatever. And soul friends are grouped according to their level of evolution. But back to Father God, the other reason is, besides him wanting a companion, right? Father God deserves a companion. Who out there is going to say that Father God can't have a woman by his side? The people who wrote the Bible, well, they didn't know that much. That was 2,000 years plus ago. They don't know as much as we do now. We've had the benefit of 2,000 years of evolution on our sides. And even though we may not have been inspired, and we're not being inspired like they were back then, because they didn't have much weaponry for one thing, we are also capable of being inspired and drawing out the answers for any question that we have about life, nature, God, the universe. We are capable of doing that. We are children of the Most Highest. But the other reason is you can't have a child, a son or a daughter, without a mother and a father. A father alone cannot create a son and a daughter. Now, that's logical. So think on that for a while if you don't believe me. Wake up in the middle of the night around 3 a.m. and you might say, you know, the Reverend Blake was right. I just dreamt about that, or that idea just came to me, and he's right. You can't have a child born in the spirit world of a soul and a spirit. You know, they merge their spirits. And it's a synchronization of thought and speaking words. So you take in your left hand, you have the Father God, the right hand, the Mother God, put your hands together, emerge their spirits, they become one, their thoughts are in synchronization, they speak those words kind of like, let there be light. Well, let there be a new spirit, a soul, a beautiful soul that will come to earth, and is going to champion the right civil rights and help African-American people to get their equality, like Martin Luther King, for example, his soul, just to give you an example. And again, you can't have children without mother and father. This is a universe of male and female, all the way to the very center, the great central center of the universe, my friends, not only in our wee tiny little solar system and our little speck of a galaxy compared to all the other galaxies out there. In other words, like a drop of water in an ocean of solar systems, if you will. Our little drop of water compared to the entire universe. And the universe is the alpha and the omega, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative, male and female again. So two good reasons. Father God wants a companion. He wants a queen. He wants to procreate, make more spirit children. That's what he does here in this solar system of his. And the mother gods, this is their solar system. Yes. And if you don't believe that, you're entitled to your opinion. And when you do get to heaven one day, you can come up to me and tell me if I'm wrong. You know what? You were wrong, Blake. Reverend Blake, you were wrong. That wasn't entirely true. Or you could say, you know what? You were right. Because I can't prove it to you. You just have to believe me. And believing people is a very important thing to do, my friends. I'm going to take another drink. Think like somebody who's had a near-death experience. Now, me and you, we might say, there's so many of them on YouTube, and I've watched a lot of them. I've been studying near-death experiences since 1992, my friends, with that first one, the greatest and probably the most complete and profound near-death experience of all time, Embraced by the Light. If you haven't read that book, you're missing something. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for a long, long time. So there are other people out there who are very interested in the subject. You know, most people, they, in the comfort and privacy of their own living establishments, or shall I, let me rephrase that, in the comfort of their home, when away from the the bustle and hustle of society, they kind of reflect on the nature of their true being, which is a spirit, you know, that spirit inside their body. They're concerned about their evolution. They're concerned about developing spiritually, because really, I tell you the truth, my friends, that is why we're here on this planet, in this universe, the universe of the universe, the school of planet Earth, because we're here to develop ourselves spiritually. No other reason. Not for freedom or pleasure, not for procreation, make as many children as you can, not for making money on the job, not for going on vacations, not for making billions of dollars. We're here to develop spiritually, and that's the bottom line. And that is irrefutable logic. But then again, you're entitled to your opinion, you know. And we as spirits were born. I can't remember when I was born. I don't think anybody can. But I can't remember when I was 2 years old. Isn't that kind of cool? I was living in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, with my parents. I can remember a few things. I remember getting stuck on this stairway that was behind our apartment complex, and it went up like 3 floors. And I think when I was climbing up the stairs, one after another, and I was just a baby, you know, 2 years old. And these are the metal stairs that go up, up, and up, you know, and there's not a lot of room for error. I mean, there's space in between the steps where you could fall out and fall down and die, you know. I didn't want to die. I got up to about halfway up the stairs to find my mother. I thought she was with her friend, the Nordemirs, at the top of the stairway. And I couldn't go any further. I think I began crying, and she came out. And of course, I really didn't want her to touch me, but she helped me pick me up and took me downstairs, I think, brought me home. Can't remember that part, but I remember getting stuck on the stairs. And I remember this train track. It was over in the distance, and I used to hear the train come rumbling down the tracks. And I was fascinated by trains when I was younger, completely fascinated by them. And I would try to go over by the tracks, and they were worried about me. Just like also with cars. My mother told me this story, and she told it many times. I'm going to take a drink. I loved cars so much when I was young. I'm talking about 2 or 3 years old. I would go to the road and I would say, car. I put my arm out. Car, I just love cars. Car. And the neighbors saw this and they were sweating. They were getting stressed out by that. And so they finally said, the mother, she was aware of it, but they finally told her, look, if you're not going to save your son, we don't want to see him get splattered on the road hit by a car. If you're not going to do something, we will. So apparently she took a wooden spoon to me and broke it on me. And that worked. Would you believe it? That worked. I didn't go back on the road anymore. Sometimes those kinds of means work. It might not be humane or you can get in trouble nowadays from doing stuff like that. But that's the old school kind of, you know, training bad behaviors. You know what I mean? Anyway, changing the subject, those extraterrestrials that are out there, I was telling you about, they're not visiting us now in a way where they can be openly observed. I mean, every now and then, they're making contact with people around the world. So many people see them each and every day in different countries. And they're not letting themselves be observed too much. I mean, they show up, and they disappear. Did you know that Jimmy Carter saw a UFO? Him and like 10 people. And it was like your stereotypical kind of flying saucer, but actually it looked like a light, a ball of light, because these flying saucers, they're radiating electromagnetic energy. They're interacting with the Earth's electromagnetic grid. And so sometimes they look like a light, depending on what mode they're in. And they can also just appear like a flying saucer, a classical, you know, flying saucer, metallic, and how would you describe it? The whole body is metallic, very shiny and smooth. Jimmy Carter saw one. Check it out on the internet. And God bless his soul. He was such a good man. He lived to be 100 years old. What a great man he was. And did you know that when he became president, he went to a meeting with George H.W. Bush, who was the CIA director at the time, and said, I need to know everything that you can tell me about the government cover-up of flying saucers and extraterrestrial life. And George Bush told him, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't have a need to know. The president doesn't have a need to know. He's a part-time employee. He's only going to be there for maybe 8 years. And sorry, you know. And there was nothing Jimmy Carter could do. He wasn't going to fire him, you know. And that's the way that conversation ended. But that gives you an idea of just how this cover-up is so, and it's like black ops. You got to be careful what you say because you don't know if you're going to get hit by a bullet, you know. They say that if you do cause problems and troubles, if you do try to reveal some information that you've been asked to keep secret regarding extraterrestrial life, that we're not alone in the universe, which would be so helpful if we could know for sure that we're not alone and utilize their technology, that electromagnetic anti-gravity technology, we could free ourselves from this energy independence, you know. Well, they said, this bullet here has your name on it, and it will find you if you talk about the secret kind of stuff. And indeed, a lot of people were assassinated, especially after Roswell, who knew about the truth. And even now, on the FBI's website, if you're interested, you can go and download a document that says right there, some stuff is redacted, but it says that one or two spaceships were recovered at Roswell, and some extraterrestrial beings that look like children with big heads were recovered, you know, like about 3.5-4 feet tall, very spindly arms and legs, and they were all taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and it's right there on the FBI's website. So come on, those of you that are looking for evidence, the evidence is out there. It's just a question of whether or not you really want to know. Some people don't want to know that we're not alone in the universe. And it would be so beneficial. Let me tell you why. Let's say, take divergence, for example. Divergence, the extraterrestrial race I was talking about earlier, who have been observing Earth for over 1,000 years, and that's what they do. They love, I mean, they're one of the most dominant species in the universe. They are about 5 feet tall, gray skin, maybe tannish, with a green tinge in there, with the big dark eyes, sometimes a little bit slanted and with pointed ears too. Of course, extremely, 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 extremely intelligent, you know, because they're capable of traveling around the universe in a very rapid fashion, you know, with their spaceships warping time and space and going interdimensional. And supposedly they have over 1 trillion planets that have been colonized. Maybe that's a little bit too high, but they have a large number, I can't remember exactly, of planets that they've colonized. So that they are, theoretically, the most dominant species in the universe. And so what they do, now check this out, they've been traveling around the universe for about 290 million years. Hey, you know, here we are in a little spiral around the Milky Way galaxy, and we've just barely begun exploring things. The Voyager spacecraft, they're traveling about 40,000 miles an hour. They just left the confines of our solar system heading towards Alpha Centauri. It won't get there 4 light years away until many thousands of years from now. And these extraterrestrials, they love to explore. Whatever happened to that spirit of exploration, my friend? You know, I mean, Star Trek. Didn't you like Star Trek? Don't you want to be like Star Trek? Come on now, what's wrong? So they go around the universe and, like I was saying, check this out, for 290 million years, And still, they're coming up to solar systems and galaxies that have not yet been explored or documented. Even now, still after 290 million years, that's what they do. They love to explore and find all these different kinds of life. I'm going to take a drink. So what they do is they come to a new uncharted solar system. They set up an observation post like they did here with people on Earth. They begin to observe the multi-years, watch them go through their evolutionary process, you know, like from back in the day when Moses walked the Earth and he brought the Hebrew people out of Egypt, and Jesus also around that time. Going back, say, to the pyramid times, the Egyptians, all the way through Jesus' times, and then throughout the centuries, you know, the medieval age, everything that's happened on planet Earth, they've been observing it. And eventually, they continue to observe until that species starts to make its first steps into outer space, take its first steps into outer space. And if that species is not a peaceful species, let's say they're warlike and they have intentions for going out into outer space and engaging in interstellar warfare, they won't allow that. That's what they do. Sorry, you know, space is supposed to be a peaceful domain. That's why I don't like the movie Star Wars, because that is totally against the Creator's will. And you don't want to go against the Creator's will, my friends, because guess who's got all that power that can do anything? And if you disrespect the Creator's creation, ooh, hell has no fury, if you know what I mean. There's no place you could hide. So in other words, respect what the Creator has made. The creation is beautiful. The Creator is awesome. And so the Verdants observe until the species starts to make its first steps in outer space. And they didn't stop us. You know, we were able to go to the moon in 1969. The same thing with the Russians. You know, first of all, those first steps, you know, orbiting the Earth. And then you had the Mercury missions and then the Apollo missions. And the Russians were doing their own thing. They landed 8 spacecraft on Venus. Yes, that's true. You didn't know that? Well, I guess you don't know everything, my friend. No, just kidding. So check it out on the internet. The Venera spacecraft, I think they were called. They didn't last very long because I told you before of all the pressure and the heat. They only lasted a while. And the last one that they sent was number 8, I think. And that lasted for a while, and they were able to transmit from the surface and send back some photographs, kind of like Mars, you know, it's a barren landscape, a lot of rock and wide open plains and mountains and stuff, you know, but just tremendous pressure that could crush a tin can and hotter than an oven, you know, to melt lead. It's amazing. So they didn't interfere with us going into outer space. However, they did stop a rocket that had a nuclear warhead on it from going up there. Check it out on the internet. I don't know who it was specifically that did that. It was the Verdants or one of the kind of allied species that are in coordination with them that belong to the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. They stopped, and they will stop any attempt to send nuclear weapons or other kinds of weaponry, similar weaponry, into outer space. That's why you hear so often that they have a lot of UFO activity around these nuclear silos, you know, in different locations around the United States and the world. So if we could make contact with the Verdants, it would be so beneficial to us. And actually, the steps were in place for us to do that, because that is part of their plan, too. Once the species starts to make steps into outer space and they're peaceful enough, and they have to decide on whether or not to let them into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. You know, we have to be a peaceful species, and the majority of us are, my friends. It's only a small minority who are the bullies, the dictators, and the tyrants. You know, about 20%, 80% of us a good, decent, family-oriented, loving, kind, generous people. You know what I'm saying? But that bad minority is kind of running roughshod over us, and a lot of the bad people are very rich, too, and so they're pressing all the buttons. But we have a lot of good rich people, too, like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and some of the other billionaires. I think Mr. Trump is a good man myself. You know, we almost lost him. Just imagine that if he had died, if been hit by that bullet gone inside his head. That would have been it. And then, of course, the Republicans would have been extremely angry at the Democrats for having something to do with that, maybe not directly, but indirectly. And there probably would have been riots and protesting on the streets and fighting, a lot of people killed. And eventually, I think order would have been restored. But and then who knows who would have been president, you know? But I don't care. Anyway, back to the Verdant. If we could have made contact with them and the steps were in place, because what they do, to go back to the process that they utilize to making contact, they begin beaming up people onto their spaceship. Yeah, beaming up is a reality, not a fantasy, my friends. I'm telling you the truth. They have incredible technology. The benefit of having traveled around the universe for 290 million years, don't you think they have that same technology, Star Trek? Where do you think they got those ideas for Star Trek? Makes one think, right? So they have this technology. They can do anything. They know how to transform matter. They know how to travel around the universe from one location to another in just minutes, you know? I mean, I'm talking like millions of light years away. They know how to traverse the universe very quickly from A to B over, maybe not millions, I'm not sure, I think so, but thousands of light years away, you know. And so they began to beam up people who would then have the title of ambassadors. So these are people from all walks of life. I'm going to take a drink. Doctors, lawyers, soldiers, people from everyday life who have that unique kind of skill that they need, that maybe even soul's evolution that they require, people that are who they observe and choose, who are going to help make the world a better place, people that who are going to assist them in planet Earth joining the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets and having our place in the intergalactic community where then they could share their technology with us. So they have these ambassadors that go forth and check out the book, The Contact Has Begun. Philip Kraft, who wrote that book, was abducted by them. Not maybe an unsolicited visitation is probably a more appropriate term rather than abducted. And they brought him aboard their spacecraft for 3 days. And some other ship, I think it's still there, called the Goodwill. Hey, check it out. Goodwill. Doesn't that sound good? Sound great. Supposedly, it's behind the moon. Now, don't laugh. It's about a mile-wide spaceship. It's a mothership. And they have these smaller shuttlecraft that are like the regular kind of flying saucers, you know, maybe 20, 30 feet in diameter, that can go into one of the many ports within the mothership, you know, and do it on a regular basis. And so they have these ambassadors that get abducted multiple times, and they're brought up on board the spaceship, and they're given an indoctrination, an orientation into the eventual contact between the two species. What was that? Oh, okay. That was my grandson. And so then the plan is later on, don't you start barking now. Okay, you can stay there. Just don't bark. One of our new dog, Lenny, came up here. He's lied down. He gets lonely. He's downstairs. They went out to eat. I told you that before. So they, after that period of the process, then eventually they have the contact where the two species get together and the plans are made for spreading the world all around, spreading the word all around the world. It gets out into the mainstream media that we've made contact with an extraterrestrial species. The steps are in place. And I'll give you two main reasons why this would be a good idea, my friends. First of all, don't you want to be star travelers that share their technology with us? We'll be traveling to the stars. I mean, and we've already got some of that technology, anti-gravity technology, but they know how to do it. They can lead the light. They can lead the way and shine the light on our path, my friends. These extraterrestrials of verdants, they know how. They do it all the time. As I mentioned, that's what they do. They go around and explore. They set up an observation post. They guide these new species into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. I'll explain to you how. And then they join the intergalactic community, which is all about peace and harmony and love and living together and honoring the creator of the universe, all this different type of extraterrestrial life, all the different bodies and shapes and sizes and color skin and hair and eyes and levels of intelligence and just beautiful creations. If you think about all the life here on Earth, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the seas and oceans and rivers and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals. Now just use your imagination and think about those other sentient beings, not the animal life, but the sentient being life that's around the universe. It's how diverse and complicated and complex they are. And we know, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, in knowing just how many there are out there. But suffice it to say, in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, there are approximately 30,000 species, all dedicated, hey, that wasn't too hard to say, was dedicated towards the betterment, if you will, now that's a word I haven't used in a while, of the universe, making the universe a more loving place, and that's what the creator of the universe is like, an aurora borealis. If you ever met the creator of the universe, the one that initiated the Big Bang, I'm not talking about Mother and Father God, you know, and that plan the creator had, but I'm talking about the creator of the universe. If you came face-to-face with the creator of the universe, let's say you went up into outer space, you had a near-death experience, maybe you drowned or something, and you were in outer space, and all of a sudden the creator came right up to you. It would look like he, she, male and female, like an aurora borealis, a huge energy field, but with all the colors of the rainbow, just undulating and oscillating and shimmering, energy crackling with electricity, if you will. And inside of that, there's a being, an intelligence, an omniscient intelligence, an omnipotent intelligence that if you strike up a conversation with, you would learn that he/she is really cool. He/she would be ultimate friend. I mean, so cool and loving, and a great sense of humor too, I might add, that you could almost see the creator smile and laugh, and the creator would like to play around with you, you know, but in a very intelligent way, of course. But back to the verdant. So when we had that summit, there was a summit planned, and it was going to be around 2010, when after the mainstream media was informed and this one location, they were going to have it in the American Southwest, somewhere in Arizona. I think they were going to turn like maybe a 100-acre piece of dry, arid land into an oasis overnight with their technology. And that's where they were going to have this summit with all the people of the world, where we would get together and get to know each other. And then they would share their technology. They would, first of all, educate us, taking up all those people that were there, people from all walks of life, like I mentioned, up to their spaceship, and they'll go through this education program that would last a few weeks, you know, to tell them about the geography of the universe and also the different types of extraterrestrials out there and their anatomy and their physiology and their history and all that stuff. And the second probably most important thing about us making contact with them, now check this out and tell me if this doesn't sound like a good idea. How about there being no more disease on Earth? I'm talking about no more cancer, no more diabetes, no more heart disease, nothing. No viruses anymore, no COVID, nothing. You know why? Because they would tell us, well, this is what you're doing wrong. See, that's what you've been doing wrong. This is what you need to do. And it's a holistic approach. And that's what it really comes down to. Plus, my friends, I've said this before, are you drinking your daily recommended amount of water? You can prevent so many bad ailments, illnesses by drinking your daily recommended amount of water. And that sounds like a good idea right now. I'm going to take a drink. Wouldn't that be cool to be members of the intergalactic community? Not only that, but in war. Who doesn't want to study war no more? I'm getting tired of war, hearing about all these men and women and children, women and children massacred, destroyed. For what? Money? Yeah, probably. That's the main reason. What else? Land? Well, again, money, really. Is there any good reason for war? Do me a favor. Listen to this song on YouTube tonight. It's called War. It's from the 60s. War. Huh. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. Only for the Undertaker. And when we lose our lives, my friends, it's like those, and let me say a little prayer for the people that lost their lives in that sudden and violent accident over Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C., that helicopter. Why do they even allow helicopters to go in that airspace? Come on. Was there an accident waiting to happen? I know they need to do their training, but just go in the opposite direction. Go down the other way down the Potomac. Dang it. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to get near that airspace. It was an accident waiting to happen. So come on, a little bit more intelligence there, my friends. Increase our intellect. We have to every day increase our intellect. But here's a prayer. God, creator of the universe, please bless the souls of those people, 67 beautiful, beautiful souls, people. I saw pictures of them. I want to see some more. I want to see those pictures again. Just beautiful people like you and me, my friends, just like me and you. Ended. Their lives ended, but maybe some say that was meant to be. It's a hard subject, that the theory of predetermination, predestinate, but anyway, God, creator, please bless their soul. They were beautiful people, all of them. Some with great skills, like figure skating. Amazing people. Awesome. Bless their souls, God. And comfort their loved ones, too. It's not easy. It's a difficult time to go through when you lose someone that's close and precious to you. You know, I went to a Toastmasters meeting this morning at 9:30 in the morning. And there was about 12 of us there. And to talk in front of those people, especially in the early morning, is not always easy. You know, it's hard to stay on your game, but suffice it to say, we are all children of God, you know. And so getting back to the prayer, God, creator, comfort their loved ones, help them to understand that where they went, where their souls and spirits went, is where we're going one day. Yes, we miss them, and they're no longer with us. And without attributing fault to anyone, because accidents do happen, we're not perfect, like you, creator. Oh, omniscient and omnipotent one, please help us learn from this accident and bless us all, everyone, please. So that was my prayer, my friends. So I think about this, you know, I see the different accidents on TV and the airplane that crashed in Philadelphia, too. 7 people dead. God bless their souls, too, creator of the universe. Comfort their loved ones. And those that are injured, help them to heal, please. If that could be your will, always say that, my friends. I'm going to take another drink. If that could be your will, because like I mentioned, some things are meant to be because it's helping us. You know, our goal, our eventual goal is to survive, my friends, here on Earth. And we're in a precarious situation, you know. There's a lot of love in this world, but there's those people that don't have that love, suffice it to say, that we do, that need to. We all need to love each other, like Jesus said. And we wouldn't be here today, my friends. Listen, I'm not religious. I don't want to sound religious, even though I go to church Sunday. But don't make it about religion, because if Jesus hadn't died on the cross and come back to life, resurrected, and then ascended to heaven, we wouldn't be here today. The world was in a bad state back then. There was a lot of evil, a lot of killing, a lot of sexual immorality. But I'm running out of time, my friends. So I said my prayer, and I'll say another prayer for you, Creator of the universe and Mother and Father God. Please bless us and help us. We need your help to grow and develop spiritually and to evolve. Thank you for listening to my show. Talk to you next week. Take good care of yourselves. I love you. Bye-bye.